there that some others prove that they're willing to carry the heavy load. Then you know we've got a problem of some being field niggers, and then there's some house niggers. Field blacks and house blacks. I've run off five. Might as well preach five more minutes and see if I can run off a few more. When I healed that woman of cancer back there, the man clapped his hands. Yes, he was really raving. But when I got on the good mayor, and I said I voted for him, and I think I probably caused thousands of people to vote for him. I mean, and voted in spirit because I wasn't here in actual person, but I certainly did all I could to get a change in this county. But I'm going to tell you, if you think I'm going to start worshiping any mayor as God, I'm not. I'm not a yes sir, no sir man. I'm just not. I'm not a kiss. He needs us. And if he serves the people, he'll have us. And we'll be more loyal. I see trots around these various churches and speaks to them. And a lot of those churches didn't raise a finger to do anything for him. But we really did something to bring change here. We put our neck out. I prophesied it. I put my words into action and backed up my words with action. Some of you need to let him know that, because some devils just went out to try to stir up trouble. But if I don't care if somebody wants trouble and wants to listen to a devil, let them bring all the trouble they want, because I can handle it. Shift yourself, child. You're at home. In other words, if we elect you to mayor today on a platform, we want you to carry out that platform. We're going to watch that platform. And we'll watch a black man's platform just as quick as we'll watch a white man's platform. We want to see that he keeps his promises. And if we don't, we'll throw the rascals out. Folk come up to me and said, well, you got a black rascal and you got a white rascal. I said, well, we've had a white rascal for 12 years. We ought at least have a chance to have a black rascal for a while. But I don't feel that way. I felt you had a choice of dimensions. And so with Mayor Bradley, I took a stand that it could have cut my throat. And I'll always do so. You're not supposed to take any stand in a church. They can take away your privileges. When I took a stand for Mayor Bradley, it could have cut my throat. But I don't care. And I'll take a stand for anybody or against anybody. Because you see, the church has become an instrument of repression in the society. The preachers are given a draft deferment if they won't preach what they know. They don't have to go to war. They're given discounts at all the stores if they keep their nose clean and cooperate with the Chamber of Commerce. They are given tax exemptions on their churches if they won't speak out. And when I spoke out against Mr. Yardy, I got a death threat on me. That's how far I went. And some of these, I see them now that the mayor's going to various churches around. Some of those churches didn't lift their voice. I lifted my voice 9 months before he ever got in. The moment I pastored, I lifted my voice. But the churches are not supposed to say anything about politics. If they do, they can lose all their exemptions. And I think that'd be healthy if every church did. But I'm not going to lose mine until the Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics do. And if they start taking our exemptions away, we'll fight like tomcats. Now, I'm not supposed to say anything about Mr. Nixon, but I will. Mr. Nixon has usurped the power of the judiciary, the Congress, the press. He has usurped power as no one in our history. Yesterday he said, and there's somebody behind him. Anybody that was a coward ought to shut their mouth. Because yesterday the press, the chief monitor for CBS said, Mr. Nixon, why is it that you are so angry at the press? He said, why are you so angry? And he said to all those newsmen with all their power, he looked at them and never cracked not a grimace of fear. He knows he's got the generals behind him. He's got the military. He's got the international bankers behind him. He's got the Zionists behind him. All right, that's all right. There's a difference between being Jewish and Zionist. I hope you understand what I'm saying. God, I ought to stay home today. I really ought to. Mr. Nixon looked at the press and he said, you can't be angry with people you don't respect. You think he's that brave? Not on your life. You read the San Francisco Chronicle, read the Times. It says the winds of the Gestapo is blowing in America. The winds of dictatorship is blowing. The London Times, the New York Times, the San Francisco Chronicle said at any time the army may move in to back the president. He knows he's got an ace up his sleeve. He's got big money up his sleeve. That's what he's got. And I'm not supposed to preach against it, but I'd rather go to jail than to sell my soul. I'd rather lose my life than to lose my freedom to speak. Because wherever the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. And we're to stand fast in the freedom with which God has set us free. And I'll speak my freedom if they come in here tomorrow and take me away with the army. I will tell you that Nixon is a terrible danger to this nation. He's the most dreadful nation danger that we've ever had. And I'm a registered Republican. I've been a conservative in my views because I believe the government that governs least governs best. But I will fight Mr. Nixon with all the power that's within me. Now go smoke that in your pipe. I don't mean with swords or guns. I'm a nonviolent person. But I'm certainly going to speak out. I've been told over the telephone not longer than 2 weeks ago, you're going to have to get off of Nixon's back or we're going to give you trouble. Don't you talk to me like that. They told me the same thing. They called in here and said the Muslims several months ago said, we're going to continue to threaten to bomb you. We're going to blow you up if you don't quit talking about the Muslims. And I told them, you better get off my back or I'll keep on your back. Don't you threaten me. I don't care who you are. I refuse to be intimidated by black man, Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Republican, fascist. You don't worry about it. That's what's so ridiculous. And some of those very people, we've put more money into helping Jewish refugees. We've put more money into helping black Muslims when they were in trouble. We've been their strongest aid. One time, there was a group that was going to do them in, and we came to their rescue. And what we get as a thanks from some of them is a spit in the face. But I don't care whether people spit in my face or pat me on the back. I will do what's right. But don't you tell me that you're going to blow me up to keep me quiet, because you have to blow me up to keep me quiet. And I'd rather be dead than be a slave to any man. We've been a slave long enough. I say we've been slaves long enough. It's high time we got our freedom. So if I'm not free to speak in the church, I'll be free to speak in the jail. Then if they want me to stop speaking, they'll have to cut my tongue out. And then I'll give them finger singles. They'll have to cut my fingers off. And when I can't give them any finger symbols, I'll give them some arm symbols. They'll have to cut my arm off. They'll finally have to cut my neck off, because I will not be silent. Do you hear me? Someone called me up not long ago. Anonymous, always these sneaky cowards, they're anonymous. Said, you know the laws of the land are against you practicing healing. Said, you can't use oil. All that's true. You can't use oil. All these churches use it, but they get by with it because they're not standing for anything. You can't use pictures or oil cloths, anointed cloths. It's against the law. You read the legislation, it is. Ask the attorney there that was healed of cancer of the stomach, the Jewish attorney. And he'll tell you, I'm not anti-Jewish by any means. All my Jewish people will tell you how much I fought for Jewish rights and how I put my money where my mouth was. But anyway, it's against the law. And they said, we're going to use some of those laws against you if you don't quit preaching about political conditions and racial questions and social questions in the church. I said, you just have to use the law against me, because I'm keeping right on doing exactly what I'm doing now. Some of you say, well, nothing can happen to us. It will if you're afraid. We'll have to go through the jails. We'll have to go through the prisons. We went through them once when a mob came out here, and I told you that a mob would come. I told you there'd be riots, not go out in the streets. And they took my black people and kicked them. A woman I resurrected and healed her from paralysis, they kicked her. Your fire department, you got a nasty fire department in this town. Oh, yeah, see, nobody wants to, everybody wants to be quiet. So there were some good men. There was a good supervisor that came in and said, yes, they did it. I don't know what to do about it. He said, most of the people we got are people coming in from the South that are white. And he was apologetic. But nonetheless, they kicked that sister in, my precious sister, Pinky Hansberry. And I raised her up. She was paralyzed and she was dead, and I raised her. I said, don't get an ambulance. But the nurses were following the usual custom, because we believe in having everything confirmed by a doctor. If a miracle can't be confirmed by a doctor, it's not worth much. So anyway, medicine and faith healing should work together. But on that occasion, I said, don't get an ambulance. Don't go out in the street. But my people did just exactly the opposite. They went one Sunday about a year ago out in the streets, and I'm telling you, you never saw such a barrage. They kicked that woman. They took that woman in the ambulance. She didn't want to go. She wanted to listen to what I said. And they kicked her in the ambulance right in this town and called her a nigger bitch. Now, we may talk about niggers in the good sense, but you better not be kicking us and calling us those kind of words. They kicked her in there, and it was an upheaval. I came out and I said, let her out. And so they cussed some more and called in the police. The police didn't know what was going on, and heads began to be knocked, and they took my black brothers, knocked down one of my children, hit Sister Jones, handcuffed her. She'd never been arrested in her life. Neither have I ever been arrested in my life. They arrested him, took him away, and charged him with assault and battery. And then I caused the woman inside the ambulance to disappear. She got out of there. I either did that or I caused their eyes not to see when she came out because they didn't know what happened. They said, where is the person? What are we fighting about? The woman's gone. And they led my wife away, the most wonderful mother you've ever wanted, the church mother who's been faithful to you. They led her away in the police. And I followed them all. My black brother Jackson, he was a government official, federal government official, and brother Brown, who comes on the other Thursday nights when I'm not here. I'm here every other Thursday and Friday, and sometimes the one Thursday I'm not here. Well, he is in my place, so you know who I'm talking about. He's the head of the mayor's youth commission. And they chained them up and took them in, and I went down and said, now there's wrong. This is wrong. I said, this is evil. What you're doing is wrong, and I've come here to get my people free. And they arrested me. Throwed me in the jail. It sure did. Tied me up, put me in cuffs, and chained me up to the prison bars. And one of them, oh, there's some mean ones around. It's all right. Take no fear. Just take no fear. Breathe deeply and just take no fear about it, child. What the rule is. The rule is you can't die here. We don't want anybody to break the rule. Yes, yes. Bless your hearts. Now, my children, again, keep your mind on this. If you know, we've had 463 people resurrected in these buildings and a whole lot of folk that thought they were going to try to die and didn't get it done. So I wouldn't worry about it. They've come drugged in here from hospitals where they were lower than death, come out of their intravenous feedings, and we've not lost one yet. So I wouldn't get nervous about it. I would not get nervous about it if I were you. It's all right. It's all right. Bless her heart. She don't want you to carry her, and that's right. See, she's not dying. Let her walk. She don't want to be carried, and she's got enough pride to do that, and she's got enough faith she's not going to die. I sure got enough faith she ain't going to die. They give me the signal that she's having a stroke or a heart stoppage down there, but I don't get nervous after 463 successes in that department. If we're successful in every department as we are in that one, we ought to be very confident. Anyway, we ended up down there in the jail, and they locked me and said, now what you going to do, Reverend? I said, I'm going to stay right here. He said, well, you can get bailed out. I said, oh, no, the poor can't get any bail. He said, poor blacks, Indians, Mexicans, and whites, they don't get any bail. So I said, I'm staying here until I get my trial, because I haven't done anything. He said, trial? You'll be here 6-8 weeks. The docket's way behind. I said, that's your problem. I said, I'm going to sleep. And I slid down on the floor and went to sleep. I didn't get to sleep but 3 or 4 minutes. And then they come in. Here come the assistant commander. before I was through, they had all the big shots there, and they let me out, and even though they arrested me, they tore up the record, and they let all my people go, because I said, that's the only way we're going to settle the case. They dropped all the charges. I prophesied they would. That's what comes when people will get off their backside and stand up for each other. You've got to stand behind one another. United you stand, divided you fall. You got to love freedom, and you got to let them know that you're not going to let your freedom be taken away. You got to let them know if they take the freedom of one, they've got to take the freedom of all. We've got to go on record right now. We must go on record so that the whole nation and all of Los Angeles County will hear us. If you come in here to take one of us in a concentration camp, you better come to take us all. We won't give up one white. We won't give up one Jewish. We won't give up one black. We won't give up one Mexican. We are one family. There's no races or creeds or colors in this mighty Christ in which we serve. Now, I think I've made it clear to the rap thinks that are in our midst today. Say, why are you preaching so long? I've got reason. I've got reason. I want to set the record straight. Every now and then you've got to remind, when you're dealing with a pack of wild animals, you've got to remind them that you mean business. When you've got a bunch of bullies around you, if you keep backing off, they'll push you clear out of existence. We want to go on record. We'll live peacefully with all people. But don't you try to hurt one of the least of our little ones, because if you do, you have to kill us to get to them. Hallelujah. I know you're saying back there, I know that's true, isn't it now, Sister Miller? Your mind is wandering away. You're saying, what's this got to do with God? Everything. Because if you do not love liberty, you do not love God. If you don't have freedom, you don't have God. If you don't care about freedom, you can never know God. For where the spirit of liberty is what? Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And you're to stand fast in the freedom, the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And be not a slave again for any man. That's what your scripture tells you. And that's what I'm preaching. And more than that, that's what I'm practicing, bless your heart. Hallelujah. Subject settled. So don't tell me what I'll preach in my pulpit. You can take my tax exemptions. You can send us to war. But you better be prepared for a fight when you come for us. Hallelujah. I'm later than I usually would like, but there was business to take care of. The operatory workers have come back. Now, this is a dire treasure. The Baptist Convention in Texas still is official there. Gave him his eyesight back. And the anointing flowed from my hands. Blood flowed from my hands and healed his eyes. And he was prophesied to go tell the truth. He's been doing it. He's 87 now, and when he came here in the wheelchair, he was 86. He was up there every month. He said, I've never seen a heaven like this. He said, this is a greater heaven than all the heavens I dreamed about. So we're ready in the case of war, or depression, or earthquakes, we're ready. But in the case of a dictatorship, where we have to say, Pharaoh, let my people go, Then we have to get land abroad. We have to make a way through the Red Seas, through the wilderness. We've got to make a way, and God's going to help those that help themselves. I've never seen nobody get any help unless they first help themselves. People too lazy, critters too lazy to stand up and help themselves, don't deserve any help. Well, come on now. When I called Sister White down here, that was in the wheelchair for 5 years when I called her out and healed her, if I had just called and she hadn't answered, she'd still been sitting in the wheelchair. But when I called, she answered and she got off of her backside. She had to take that first step. And some of you got to take that first step for freedom today. So when I mention to some, kingdom come, thy will be done, heaven in earth. You're not going to fly anywhere. They've been teaching that for hundreds of years. Every moment, he's going to come soon. He's going to come soon to those who get off their backside and recognize the only Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That's where it is, down here on earth, in you. I want to be ready. I want my children ready because I'm a good father. You saw how I fought in the courts and got them all free. I fought for Reverend Jackson when he was 93. They put him in jail under a false charge. First time in his life. I didn't wait 20 minutes till I had the bail. And I told him, I said, you won't go back. And you didn't, did you? No, you didn't. Healed him of a broken leg the same day he broke it. And he was dead a year ago. And I healed him of that. Raised him from the dead. I look after my children, and I'm going to look after them always, in every way, in all points. I'm going to be ready for all points. I don't want the enemy to slip up with any point. I want to be ready for everything they bring. If they bring it, we'll be able to take it. That's it. Worship when you're giving, because it's a high time when we take money to build this holy family. We're not getting no preacher's anniversaries, no rings. These are used shirts, used shoes, used robes. No Cadillac waiting for me out there, but there's some buses that can get you through. You know what they told us? Said, buy your bus tires. We had a little bird in the high place. Said, you better buy some bus tires at a discount now, because they won't be able to even get these bus tires in a matter of a few weeks. So we had to buy $10,000 worth of bus tires. And we got bus parts. Because, honey, we're not going to be waiting for anybody. We don't believe in getting out on the road and praying when we could have helped ourselves before we got there. That's foolishness. If it wasn't put in the Bible, it ought to be. God helps those that help themselves. Anyone else in the last minute? $1,000. That's just a parable. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father. Said, I come in who? My Father's name. I and my Father are one. That was just a parable about God so loving the world. If you love the world, you come down and fight it yourself. You won't send your son. Come on now. You don't send your son to fight a battle for you. You fight your own battle. I want you to know God is on the scene today. I said the Savior's on the scene today. He's fighting his own battles. The Father has come. This is the day of God on earth. He's come and he's fighting his own battles. He's not sending his son. He's not sending a servant. He's not sending a messenger. I'm telling you, God is on the scene. So I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I do. There's a few of us that do. You won't take it away from us. Hallelujah. You can't take it away from us. If God appeared to Moses, and God appeared to Manoah, and God appeared to Jacob, and God walked with those old prophets, minor and major, and walked with kings like Nebuchadnezzar and Solomon that had great wealth and didn't share it and even owned slaves, if God would walk with them and not with us today, He'd be guilty of discrimination. He'd be a respecter of persons. But it says God is no respecter of persons. Respect of persons is sin. If God had a body in the day of Jesus, then He's got a body today, because God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, if you're choosing to use the terms of God. All right, anyhow, it's truth whether you want to take it, lump it, or like it. The ultimate truth is here, God. God is love. Love is God. Apostolic justice, communalism is God, and it's here. In a body. Yes, in a body. Don't make the mistake they did when they laid Jesus in the tomb. Mary and Martha said, where have they taken our Lord? Where have they taken our pastor? Lord means pastor, shepherd. Where have they taken Him? The gardener was walking by them. They said He was the gardener. They said, well, he's taken Him nowhere. But they didn't understand. And the Bible said, as they walked away from Him, they thought He was the gardener, but it was the same God, the same Jesus. He didn't look the same. He had different hair color. He must have had different body shape. He might have been a little taller. He might have been a different race. But it was the very same Jesus and the very same God. That's the mystery of this great law. God didn't ever go anywhere, because God is within you. God is here in the midst of His people, mighty to save. I'm not shouting or clapping for it. Well, you will when you get this. When you get this great salvation. Oh, when you find out that God is embodiment. When you find out that the Word is made flesh. When you know that He's discerning the thoughts, knowing the intents of the heart. Yes, you'll shout, you'll sing, you'll clap, you'll praise. You'll be on your feet when you know that the revolution has come in bodily form. Hallelujah. Who else will give 50 to make that reality? God, what the miracles we've had here. No man can do these works. Couldn't be healed. Cancer couldn't be healed. Put a picture, followed my word, and the picture was burned a hole into it. Now He's able to walk amongst us. Surely no man can do these things. You say, well, the devil can do these things. What liar have you been listening to? All good things come down from above. They call Jesus the Prince of Devils. They're always telling you that lie. But if it's good, it's God. If it's God, it's good. If it's good, it's God. Don't listen to people. They're only trying to... They're jealous. They're jealous. They don't have the goods, so they try to keep you away from the fount of every blessing. They try to keep you away from the law of life in Christ Jesus. They try to scare you away. Said, well, the devil can heal. You never read that in your life. Said he can appear as an angel of light. Said many will come in the name of Christ and will deceive many. But that was fulfilled in the generation. It had to be fulfilled in 20 years. Read Matthew 13 or Mark 13, Matthew 24. That had to be fulfilled in 20 years. That didn't apply to us. There's no lying signs and wonders here. But you never saw any place where anyone ever said that anyone could heal except God, our good, be in them. Said, well, many will say we've done it. Sure, there are all kinds of liars. They're on every church corner. They've got five churches of the same denomination every block. They're saying that God sent them, but they're liars. I'm going to tell you, if you had good sense, you'd know God was here. You wouldn't have to have anybody tell you. You'd know this love that heals the people, that adopts 8 children that I have, taking in every senior citizen, takes in everyone that comes, even the little homeless animals. Surely you had any sense, you'd know that God is in this place. Hey. Will you give 40 as the brother that came out of the wheelchair? Will you give 35? Will you give 30? Will you give 20? And these flea markets can sell things that have no value to you, but the people of the world want. And she was told to go through a window. And like most of us, she's not small enough to go through a grill. But she listened, and she was obedient, and she went through that window. And there's not a scratch on her back there. Good God! Now, 'tis so sweet to trust in our socialist Jesus. Bless him. Somebody came by early this morning when I was there. Of course, I steered my bus away from going to Los Angeles and came right to the site while it was still burning to give comfort. Though I had already made my appearance inside the building. I stood there and someone said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "I'm not." I said, we didn't lose a life. We didn't get a singed hair. We didn't even get little smoke inhalation. The group that they burned down to our sorrow up on Steiner and McAllister just the first part of the week, 21 of their people out of 30 were hospitalized. Even one of their leaders said, one of their leaders came by and talked to our people, said, "Well, we need to find what you've got that does this kind of work for you." Because that's no small miracle. I've seen many an evening in that vestibule when people would be slumbering. When 6 months ago I asked the maintenance people to get a fire and burglar alarm system and they never did get it done. I remember looking so well down on that vestibule. I said, "People would sleep right here through a fire." And he came through the kitchen. Unfortunately, a hole that I'd ordered closed up a year ago nearly. Ordered it closed in September when we purchased the building. It's still not closed. That's where he came. Something to consider. It's fact of all, not willful, harsh disobedience, but just careless lack of following instructions. And he slipped through there, and no one ever knew it. No one ever heard him. Slipped through there and poured gasoline in 10 different spots. I mean, that house was filled with flames when our sister was saved. Smoke and flames that choked a fireman. The moment he entered it, he went to the hospital, but I brought her through. Beautiful. I talked to security, called them up Wednesday about the security being lax. Didn't want to have any scolding because I said I need to keep the vibrations high on Wednesday. You remember, I said, don't want any scolding tonight. Got to keep faith high because I won't see some people alive if we don't keep things high. And so I kept things high and sent the people to council, but security was lacking. Now I've been telling you that there are people in this world out to burn black people. I've told you, and I've had Dr. Tropp stand up, and he has shown you that he lost all 60 of his family in concentration camps and gas ovens. And no one really can believe that till it comes home. And I did not say that you wouldn't go through trials. I just said that with every trial and with every temptation, I have promised I will make a way of escape. That's what I promised. There's nothing more you can do than to save a building from falling down on people and keep the walls intact. Even today when someone was trying to go through to get some important things that were amazingly salvaged, Sister Morton had a picture over some valuable things where one of my pictures was hung up as per instruction. Everything was saved. In spite of the building all being burned up, every vital thing I had in my own room was saved, because there was a certain aura, even though it was the place that burned, the back part of the building or the stage burned the most flagrantly. But every valuable thing I had was saved. Even my shirts. They'd gotten two new shirts. I said, I don't want those two new shirts. Someone had gotten them, but I said, oh my goodness, they must not be destroyed. And I went up there, and believe me, people saw me carry them out. They were not destroyed. I didn't want them selfishly. They were not my size anyway. I wanted to give them, but they were beautiful shirts. I wanted to give them away because they were size 16. I weighed size 15 and a half, and there were four of them, beautiful. And they looked at me and said, oh, they're burned. I said, they're not burned. It looked on the outside, they just looked like they'd just been burned. But that plastic, though it had been burned and scorched, there wasn't a spot on the shirt, was there? Sister Rose is down there. She can tell you there wasn't a spot, and not a spot on the shirts. It's beautiful. And I said, I need some socks. I don't want my socks burned. None of my socks were burned. I had some important books that were valuable. There wasn't even a bit of smoke on the books. Though the whole building, the floor burned out of my apartment, yet nothing was lost that I wanted lost. Nothing that I didn't want lost was lost. And everything else we can replace. We'll come out of this. Not only will we come out of it, but as I said on Wednesday before it happened, I said, bring us your fire, and we'll turn it around and use it for the glory of God, socialism. I guess it had to happen. I have warned that we must be obedient. I've warned that we must keep our minds and our attention constantly alert to what the Spirit is speaking through this pure channel. I have admonished frequently to listen to every little instruction. As I said, like a burglary alarm system that would have been, as I had instructed, on every window. If they'd touched the window like they did there in the kitchen, it would have sent off a signal that in 3 minutes the fire department would have been there. So all those things that were not done, even like the insurance, there wouldn't have been a dime of insurance on there if I had not looked at it some months ago. Because there wasn't any insurance, I said, we're going to have insurance on this place. And then they didn't follow through and get as much as they could have. Only have $75,000 on the building and $15,000 on personal items. And that, if I had had what I wanted done, there would have been double that. But people get busy and neglect what I emphasize. And I think that maybe we'll learn something out of this. When I tell security, as I did Wednesday, that you're doing less than the kind of job you can. Now we're going to have our temples surrounded I would think night and day. I hope to think that we will be able to follow instructions now. Say, how old do you have to be? Is there any danger? No, there's no danger from thieves like that. They would, if one of us had met them face to face, they'd have fell over. They have to slip in the night. You say, they meant to burn us up. That may be. But they're dealing with one that will end up burning them up. I personally took the liberty to announce by faith, if I have to give my own adopted children's educational fund and believe that I will recreate it, I have personally announced that I will give $5,000 reward. I already know where it's at, but you say I want to get somebody to come out. My gift can't convict anybody in court. My gift can do other things, but I'd like to see them exposed. I said, I have given $5,000. I will give $5,000 of reward. Reward to those who would give information leading to the arrest and the conviction of those behind this nefarious thing. I said, I'll even plea for leniency for the one that carried out, providing I get the information from the ones behind it, because I know who's behind it. I just want to get a conviction. Please. I'm not concerned about what they're going to do to us, but they're going to end up burning up some people that don't have God on the scene, just like that Lutheran group down on Steiner. They don't have God on the scene there. All they could do is get their leader out in the street praying while 21 of them were having to be sent to the hospital. But we've got God on the scene, so I'm not worried about what was going to happen to us. I did say there would be fiery trials, but I reiterate and I do declare that I will not allow more to be put on you than you are able to bear. I said it, and I will carry it out. Good. I prophesy according to my measure of faith, and you never met such faith in all your life. And I will adjudicate what I have said. I will carry out every statement. I have said to you that keep my sayings, you will never, I mean if you live a million years, and I may just do that, allow some of you to live a million years without ever going by the grave, I say to you, that I will not allow more to be put on you than you are able to bear. I have proved successfully. I have exonerated beyond a shadow of doubt the premise that I could raise the dead. Though you are dead, yet shall you live. I have proven that, as I did in our campaign all through the whole of the South and the whole of the United States. And incidentally, we're on the editorial page of the Washington Post saying it's the finest group that ever came through Washington, D.C. I have it here, a photostat of it, and it tells the beauty of our work and the beauty of integration. Washington Post is the greatest newspaper in the United States. It's the one that exposed Watergate and has brought back some semblance of hope to save America at least momentarily from fascism. And it says, of all the tourist groups that have ever come, the finest that has ever been. And this is on the editorial page. It's an editorial comment on the 18th of August in the Washington Post. So on this journey, I proved successfully that I could raise the dead because we had 7 dead in Houston in one moment. They brought them there so sick that 7 of them died, one in a wheelchair who'd been taken off of a kidney machine, and I not only healed her, I had her dancing. I not only raised her from the dead when she was gone without a trace of life and in a wheelchair, I brought her back and had her dancing. So I have proved that I can raise the dead, though you were dead, yet shall you live. I have proven that equation. And I have said something else, that if you will keep my sayings, you that live shall never die if you will keep my sayings. Now, in that case, why don't you take cognizance of this? If I've brought back so many dead as I have, and I've brought back dead people from Houston, Gulfport, Mississippi, woman dead who was on digitoxin, digitalis, on all kind of mercury, high blood pressure control. She had none of it, and in her 80s, precious sister, what's her name? Viola Ewing, there she is right there. She was dead in she was dead in Gulfport, Mississippi, and that's an awful place to die. Do you know what happens to people who've been on digitoxin and digitalis and they get off of it? They haven't got a snowball's chance in hell of getting revived. But she was laying out there and she said, oh, Father, I want to take this trip. Then she fainted away from me. I said, I won't disappoint her. And her body was as cold that I had to take my hand and simulate the movement of her heart. But I would not let her go. And when I got her aroused, she said, I can't go to the hospital. They won't let me go to the trip. And then she fainted away from me. And I just kept that heart beating with the palm of my hand. And she rose up from Gulfport, Mississippi to go all through our campaigns and never have a moment. And here she is tonight standing in this meeting. Praising God. Bless you. Bless you. Do you know? People get discouraged. Some of our enemies come over and come by and said, well, we're so sorry. I said, don't you worry about it. Everything that happens to us, we make it for good. I had more people come by. Got the location of the temple, and I wish to say that we'll gain from it. We may lose a little coward or two, but we've always been wanting to get rid of the cowards. We sat in our temple when they said right there, and I was sitting there, then you ought to have assurance. They call in there, you remember how many times I've been sitting? Your temple's going to blow up. The bomb's already in it. Said it last week in Los Angeles. Called up, what are we to do? I said, don't you move. Now, you know, if I did not know with supernatural power how much I love you, I wouldn't set you there if I heard a bomb alert. You remember the last time in San Francisco they said they're going to blow the temple up? The bomb's already planted through the temple. I said, when I am here, nothing's going to happen to you. Sister Muchman just wanted to send up to another secretary. Her building, her room was cut off. The staircase burned down, the roof out. You can see through the sky and see the stars. Everything burned her crisp up there in her room. But she had put a picture on her desk. And not one important record, file, paper, so important towards the San Francisco work, our mailing list, all of the committees, not one thing was burned, and the picture kept it. Peace. In my apartment, one room off of my room where I stay and work, the floor is actually burned around like it looks like a tin can peeled back. But sitting in that room is a file with important things in it, and that file doesn't look like it's gone through anything. And Los Angeles was just raving last night. We said, oh, such expensive equipment going up in the PA room. Then they suddenly came and says, Father, said the, what is it they call it, the splicer, the tape, no, it's not a splicer, but the tape mixer, $600 or $700 piece of equipment, said suddenly materialized here. And it was in San Francisco, but it materialized here. Now, I'm not talking about the pragmatics to build socialism, and I would build socialism by any means possible. I'm talking about things that happen from the evolution of the consciousness of socialism, God, as we call socialism. That consciousness has brought an evolution that does miracles. Man calls them, we call them perfectly normal. Just extra normal, paranormal. We say it's just quite ordinary. But believe me, in such an atmosphere, we cannot do anything but succeed. When you look over this atmosphere, look over this terrain, this geographic situation, and consider that we took across America over 700 people, between 700 and 800, ranging us from ever down here, 98 years of age, 196, 92, and our sister here in her advanced 80s who died. People come on that bus with blood clots. They boarded the bus with gangrene, like Mr. Sellers, and got healed by a picture. One of our women had 6 clots in her leg, and her body was just like a rock. Another man, his temperature was thrown out of regulation because of a blood clot, and he went clear out of regulation, and his leg was just like calcification. Just streaks of blood and gangrene going up and down it, and I healed him. Just like I look here and see Sister Cunningham, didn't I see her? And a stroke had struck her while I was gone so bad that it impaired the brain control, the temperature valve. And when a stroke hits you that bad, that's the end of it. Look at her walking tonight. Period. Peace. General Hospital, Ukiah, I came to her at 4 o'clock in the morning and set up her healing and brought things in control. Peace. So that's beautiful to consider what a stroke, a total stroke, that when it affects the brain temperature mechanism, that's a miracle. A miracle of miracles. I wonder what would happen if we were obedient all the time. When nobody died, people said they were astounded. I mean heathens, as you would call them. People that were atheists. We had park commissioners praising us because we got in the newspaper up and down America. We caused people to leave the Ku Klux Klan. They turn off the parks, but we got them to turn the park water back on, give us facilities, empty our buses in their septic tanks, Union stations, highway patrol from Alabama to Mississippi. We churned a bit of love in those Ku Klux Klan and turned them around and caused one Ku Klux Klan to get with Sister Ever, who's 98, and Sister Laternal took his picture on the front page of the Greenville, South Carolina News, saying he was leaving the Ku Klux Klan. Peace. The news came in for the Houston folk. By the way, the Houston folk got in and got a job. You know what happened to us on Sunday night. They didn't know anything about our work, but this whole carload of people come just because they've seen so many miracles. Seen me take people out of wheelchairs there and heal people in body cast and blindness. So they said, "This, you got more power with Jesus." So they just took on the road. And they didn't have any money, but they started on the road. They got New Mexico and they had a horrible accident. They didn't get proper planning. I told everyone in Houston to make clearance before they came. Well, they didn't think. They were just anxious. And they got strewn all over the highway. They came down Sunday. You saw the depth of despair over in our San Francisco church. There were five of them laying in the highway. The time the message came, what was to do, a man was bewildered. He didn't know what to do. They didn't have any money. Didn't know what to do with the people. Highway patrolman, we had to get a hold of him. Had to make arrangements to get to a farmhouse. And so get the man come to the phone. I said, "Well, you don't know as much about what I am as my people do. But if you listen to my instruction," I said, "I think one of them's got a picture." He said, "I believe they do." And so he said, I said, "Get that picture, and I've got some instructions for you to follow. You take that picture, and you go down one by one." He said, "They're laying there, bleeding, unconscious, waiting on the ambulance." I said, "Don't you fret now. You follow my instruction." And he went down there, and 10 minutes later, he came to phone. He said, "Every one of them standing up." Good God Almighty. Well, last night, they not only they came up there while Sister Rose was at and the workers at the staff were at the altar taking the offering, and said they had a job. Every one of them had a job. Got to Los Angeles and they all had a job. Said, "We want to stay here a little while to get some money because we don't want to come up and be any more of a burden." He said, "Your miracles had to bring us here, and now we're going to go get us some work." And one of them got a government job. One of them didn't have a high school education and got a government job. One of the women got a government job. Civil service clerk. And she only sees me as a, she said, "You're a great Jesus man." Wonder what's going to happen when she sees me what I really am. So we have too much to be thankful for to worry about little old sticks and bones and stones over there. As I said last night, I said they won't find a mouse. They'll not even find a mouse because those mice have been good to me. I had those mice over in that temple trained not to bother certain places. And they said when they went through there today, they couldn't find a mouse, not a cat, nothing. Nothing living was hurt, not even the plants. And what do you think? Now, we have to do some quick work on that, and we must. They sent a note, the department over there, the mayor said he'll do us, give us help to get ground if we want it. There are some feeling that the building could be restored. There's some feeling that it can't be. But it's the health department, naturally, the city inspector, they hesitated and hated to do it, but they had to put an immediate warning because of dangerous conditions, the building must be repaired or destroyed immediately.